Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood.
Hello, my name's Marek Larwood. You sound a bit like a ghost, David, when you said that.
Did I? Well, it's not Halloween yet, not for another week.
But the way you said it, hello.
Hello, my name is... I'd make a good ghost, I reckon.
What do you mean? Pale?
Well, you know, I just, you know, got a good timbre. I could scare people, I reckon. Or at least make them think I'm not talking guff. Do you know what I mean? Like, if a ghost was like, all right, I've got unfinished business, you wouldn't really... You go away.
There aren't any ghosts like that. That'd be the worst ghost. One of the annoying.
Marek! Don't go to sleep, Marek! Oh, I was murdered so terribly, Marek!
Oh, not again.
You've got to avenge me, please!
I think it'd be worse. It'd be if we were just gentle nagging.
about what, though?
I don't know. I'm feeling...
Are you not well?
I've torn one eardrum...
Ooh.
And I've got the ear infection in my other eardrum.
You've actually torn an eardrum. What did you do?
I don't know what I did.
You've stuck something in it.
No, the nurse said, I've been working very hard. I wasn't here last week. Apologies, because I did a role in a feature film called 2 Hours, which a really low budget feature film. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. But I did mess around far too much and didn't get told off on set. And I thought, I went to the nurse for this at the doctor's, and she said, that's a very bad ear infection. And then my other ear, I've torn the eardrum, said, but we'll recover. So I can't really hear anything. And I'm on antibiotics, and no one cares. For a start, no one cares. And I'm worried I've got a serious problem with my ear. That's the backstory.
Okay, and now,
so I mean, we're going to talk about films, but that explains why I'm angry.
Okay. Well, I'll try not to bait you then.
I'm having to use my left ear more. Speaking to you now.
So that's the better one. Is that the torn one or the infected one?
The torn one's better than the infected one. That's how bad the infection is.
Oh dear.
The nurse said I can see it throbbing.
No.
Yes.
Actually, see it throbbing.
Yes.
Is it going to burst open with
an alien's going to
come out? Like the thing.
Ear Beast.
I want to see a horror film called Ear Beast.
And they look like slightly like me.
Yeah, that'll be good. I got an ear infection once from doing too much swimming.
How long did it last for?
About a week.
How long before the antibiotics kicked in?
About a day.
See, I've been taking antibiotics for 2 days and mine's not getting better.
Well, but it starts to itch before it gets better.
Itch?
Or, you know, it depends what it is. But, yeah. Sort of be a bit, gammy.
Mine feels like someone stuck some hot jam in my ear.
That's it. Oh, dear.
But it's a bit of spider or some arseholes crawled up there.
Probably a spider rather than some arsehole. I bet it's that bloke Glenn from work. Fucking prick.
I knew he was looking at my ears funny. Next thing I know, he's fucking put down...
He's only dies in my ear.
He's got a tent up in my ear. Sorry for swearing.
It's alright. You've been to the cinema, haven't you, Merrick?
Yes, I did before I got ill.
Right.
I...
In the good old days.
Yes. I went to go and see a film at the cinema.
Hmm.
It was... It's only bloody Shakespeare.
Oh...
I'm not a fan of Shakespeare.
Are you not?
Well, I've a moderately educated man, David.
Yeah.
I've got an English degree.
Yes.
A 2-1 at that.
Ah, so but you did all right.
I have never read or I'm familiar with a plot of, but I've never read Macbeth.
Okay. I studied it at school.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So I studied Hamlet, and amongst other things. Yeah. That's one I really enjoyed.
I did Hamlet as well, yeah.
So when you see it, you know the things, you know what's going to come, and you know what it all means.
They're really two of the good ones.
Yeah. I did also Midsummer Night's Dream. Boring.
Yeah, I did that as well.
Othello.
And Twelfth Night.
Stop moaning. I did Twelfth Night. That's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit whimsical.
Yeah.
Macbeth is all right.
I think it's really good.
It's good. I've seen some good Macbeths in my time.
On plays?
On plays. Yeah.
On plays?
On plays. On the silver stage. I've seen Anthony Sher do Macbeth.
Yeah.
He was the best Macbeth, I reckon. Mm. I saw Patrick Stewart do Macbeth.
Mm.
He was good until he did the fights, and then it was like old men dancing.
Well, that sounds more like it.
Old men dancing. No, it's a good one. It's a good play, isn't it?
Well,
I've written my own version for the radio.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
What now?
No, it's already been and gone. It was called Macbeth Rebothered, and it was based on a truer historical account of the man rather than the rubbish Shakespeare made up.
Well, it sounds like I'm talking to an expert.
Well,
here.
slightly.
Anyway, the film, I'm unfamiliar. For people who are not familiar with Shakespeare, I went to watch it thinking, I don't know if I really fancy this, but I've got to see a film. And
it's
for this,
Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard.
Yes,
as Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth.
Yes.
Is there anyone else good or notable
David
in it?
David Thewlis.
Is playing who?
Duncan.
Duncan, right.
Sean
really?
Harris.
Duncan?
Yeah.
Is David Thewlis old enough to play Duncan these days?
He looks pretty old now, yeah.
Wow.
Sean
Harris.
He's a guy who plays all the bad guys.
He's brilliant. He's got a terrifying stare, Sean Harris.
Yeah. Macduff.
He's Macduff, okay.
Banquo.
Banquo, right. Who is?
Paddy Considine.
Excellent choice. I'm a big fan of Considine. This sounds good.
It was. And I had to sort of work out what the meaning was. If you're seeing a Shakespeare play for the first time,
yes,
you don't know it.
Oh, of course, you don't know it.
You don't know what you're sort of trying to translate.
Do we need
the
to
meaning.
Tell the listeners a brief synopsis of Macbeth?
No, because that's why I went in not knowing anything about Macbeth, and so I was trying to work out what the meaning. You will never, you know, it's.
What did you take from it?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I thought the play was fascinating, fast moving. There's no, I know they had to cut it down a lot for.
It is quite quick though.
There's no fat.
There's no
on
fat.
Macbeth.
There's a lot of fat on things like, you know, Julius Caesar or Henry IV.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
And Marion Cotillard were brilliant.
Are they doing Scottish accents?
Yes. She isn't really, but he is. I think
because his accent work really wavers around the shop.
It was more of a more sensitive version of Macbeth.
Okay.
The reason I know that is because I watched another Macbeth afterwards.
The Polanski.
Yeah, I was in. So, first of all, let's talk about this one.
Yeah.
Visually, it's directed by Justin Kurzel, who.
What's he known for? What's he done
before? He's done a film which I thought was amazing called The Snowtown Murders, which is an Australian film.
Okay.
One of the bleakest films. There's two really bleak Australian films that came out. It came out 2001. It's about this sort of, I think, a family. This bloke who falls in with the wrong, this kid falls in with the wrong crowd. It's really brutal but brilliant. So an unknown, but this visually absolutely beautiful. It's all with that red and black and the trees burning and they built this. I was speaking to Cameron on a film I did, worked on it, so they built the whole town in that Macbeth lives in at the start, this sort of village.
Where did they build it?
It's all where, Scotland. Somewhere.
Did they film it in Scotland?
I don't know, it looked like it. I thought visually stunning, the acting was great, the music was great, it was absolutely beautiful, fascinating, didn't feel slow or Shakespearean, and I think along with It Follows, this is a contender for my film of the year.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I love Fassbender.
He's great.
Born to play this part.
Well, it's funny. I'll only talk about this briefly, but I watched recently a film which is probably the last time Fassbender filmed in freezing cold Scotland, which was the Neil Marshall film, the film that pretty much ended Neil Marshall's movie directing career, which was Centurion, where he plays a Roman running from his life from the Picts, the Scottish, in the Scottish Highlands. And it's basically a film about him trying to get past Hadrian's Wall to get home. And apparently it was so freezing cold, like Noel Clarke got frostbite and nearly lost a toe, and it's all absolutely horrific. But it's a very odd film and very confused. But Fassbender I find fascinating, because sometimes he seems to be able to do any accent and voice and do all of that, but then when he shouts, it's always Irish. There's always a line or two that just comes out Irish, like Magneto in X-Men First Class. The last thing he says is incredibly Irish.
I've got off him now.
Oh, sorry. You were saying he was in possibly the best film of the year only a moment ago.
And then, but what clouded the film for me was that I spoke to this lovely actress called Siobhan Redman, and she said, "Oh, you must watch the Polanski's version, the 1971 version."
Which is very different from what I've heard. I've not seen this new one.
This Polanski's one is... I mean, the thing that I didn't like about this one was that some of the soliloquies felt a bit weird, them saying, you know...
Well, because it's a theatrical device. How did they do it in this one?
Well,
did they just talk and sort of talking to themselves in the space?
The great thing that he did, which is that they basically just put some of them as voiceovers.
That's in the Polanski one?
Yeah.
But what did they do in this one?
They said it out loud.
Just said it out loud.
Yeah.
Right.
So all the sort of inner monologues that they say out loud, which almost is the one bit which makes you think this feels like a play and not a film, and you lose that realism there.
The Polanski one I remember enjoying. It's got that very creepiness. I remember the opening scene, and it doesn't a witch sort of flash him early on. It's almost the first thing that happens, and it's really strange. And him doing the "fair is foul and foul is fair" or something is internal.
Yeah, yeah. Loads of it's internal. Yeah. It's a weird bit when he sees a dagger that drives him to go and kill Duncan.
What is this, a dagger I see before me? Yeah.
And it's that is a really bad bit, special effects. But I would highly recommend, it is absolutely fascinating seeing Polanski and this Kurzweil director work with the same material and come out with two starkly different films, which are both brilliant. And the Polanski one feels so 70s. It's really brutal. There's like nudity, there's like arms getting hacked off.
Yeah, yeah.
Really horrible violence. Whereas all the violence in the modern Macbeth is more sort of artistic, classy. It's like going around your classy, going to a wine bar or going to a real spit and sawdust pub. But the actors who plays Macbeth is played by John Finch, who is also brilliant in Friends, in Hitchcock film. And Macbeth by Francesca Annis, who plays Lady Macbeth, who I think probably better
than Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, and even I don't know if I prefer John Finch to Michael Fassbender.
Wow.
So I
which film do you prefer, though?
Oddly, it's that thing you instantly watch. I came out of seeing Macbeth, thought that's brilliant, and I watched the other Macbeth. I really enjoyed the fact it was 70s-ish and it felt more rough and ready and more alive. I don't know if I prefer the 1970s version.
Lady Macbeth is a properly good part, isn't it?
But she is absolutely brilliant.
Sort of the centre of the play, really.
Yeah, and she and I suppose she's made less of Marion Cotillard's less forceful.
What, she sort of just prods him a bit and then goes mad?
Yeah, as opposed to the...
As in, she's basically pulling his strings utterly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the inter...
There's another version that people can track down as well, probably worthy of mention. It's a far more traditional just filming of a play.
Yeah.
But in my memory, there isn't an audience. It's just done in a black space. And it's Macbeth is Ian McKellen and Lady Macbeth is Judi Dench when they were a lot, lot younger.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's like from the 60s or something, maybe the early 70s. But it's brilliant as well. You've got Ian McDermott playing Seward, so there's just the Emperor from Star Wars in the corner with a very small part. And they're all the sort of cream of the crop RSC actors from that period in all of the roles. And it's brilliant as well.
Well, I just think it's odd how, you know, modern films, they remake Spider-Man every 5 years,
yeah,
the Origins thing, and they still feel exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yet here's two films with exactly the same source material.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different, and yet both brilliant. Which says a lot for, I think, the plays. Oh, of course it's brilliant. It's, you know,
it's endured, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's stood the test of time.
Of course the source material is brilliant, which really what helps anything. But I think the interpretations are... I think people struggled to interpret... It was one... Until... I mean, who directed... It was... yeah, when Polanski did it... before that, it was... What's his name did it? Was it... Who was... Played all the old Shakespeare ones? Olivier, didn't he?
Olivier, they? Laurence Olivier.
Who was the first person to adapt Shakespeare successfully to film?
Okay.
I think he did...
Old black and white one or
he
something.
He did like Henry V.
He did Henry V very successfully.
That was
successfully.
A big one. And then he did a Macbeth slightly less.
He must have done a Hamlet. He must have
done. He would have done. His ego would have made him do that.
I've seen Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, which is... most people cut Shakespeare for film and he managed to add new scenes. It's over 4 hours long.
I saw the Mel Gibson one.
That's good, I think.
I thought it was all right.
It's all right. Kenneth Branagh's is very good as well.
Okay.
It is very good. But yeah, it's that Shakespearean adaptation for movies, it's often, it doesn't quite fit, but there are a couple of good ones. I remember thinking, what's it called? Much Ado About Nothing is all right. That's another Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson in the romantic leads. And then it's got Denzel Washington and Keanu Reeves and the weirdest comedy double act you will ever see, which is Michael Keaton and Ben Elton as as the comedy double act. It's very odd, but Imelda Staunton's in that as well, and she's brilliant.
All I would say is about this is don't be put off going to cinema because it's Shakespeare.
Yeah,
and I felt it's going to be a real arduous experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think you should go and watch it.
How many Marics?
9.
Well, hey, well, there's Macbeth for you. 9 Marics. Now, how do they do... Can I just ask how they do the ghost at the banquet scene?
Him there
bloodied and...
Yeah, right. Slightly rotten.
Right.
And same in the pre... Like, Martin Short does it in the...
Martin Short?
Martin Short is in the Polanski one.
Okay, I thought you meant Martin Short was doing some physical routine in the...
No, okay. I didn't mean that.
No, you didn't mean that.
I bet we should get onto the letters now.
All right. Well, yes, Macbeth is still in cinemas, we believe, so go see that. Who's written in?
Mike. Day.
Mike Day. What does Mike Day want?
Well, you tell me.
Okay. What accent does Mike Day want this read in?
Well, you tell me.
Does he not say? Can you go for Nick Cage in full Vampire's Kiss mode, doing a Jamaican accent? No, you've put a hat on a hat there, Mike Day. I mean, it's full Nicolas Cage would be one thing. Jamaican accent would be another.
Yeah, you can't.
You've got overexcited, Mike.
You can't do that, Michael.
You can't do. Do you want to pick one? Jamaican or Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, dear David, Marek, buddy, potential guest, potential Danielle and background police officers. Following the past few weeks, bashing of John Wick by yourselves and fan letters, I wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed it. Although it was a relatively paint-by-numbers action, I felt it had a lot more to offer than the regular box office guff the movie studios try to make relevant to all ages. 7.2 on IMDb and 85% on Rotten Tomatoes means that the general public must be fairly happy with it also, but each to their own and all that. Anyway, my question is this. Is there a film or films that you both massively disagree on? E.g. a film David loves and Marek hates and vice versa. I was also going to ask if you played the IMDb game from the bottom 100 movies on their site. Although just looking now, I can't say I've heard of them. Even the worst ever film, Kartoffel Salat, according to their scores... Quite unbelievably, Pixels doesn't feature on the list. That film was so bad that you can actually see the regret in Adam Sandler's eyes as he chews through the turd-like dialogue. Thanks, and keep watching the films, Mike!
So, two questions from Nicholas K / Mike there. One, have we played the bottom 100 game?
No.
No, we have not, Mike. We could have a look at it now.
But a bit of watching, it's just watching
it's films,
100 absolutely rubbish films.
Films with no money films. Or support. Tax dodges, basically. The top 100 tax dodge films.
But there's no point doing that, because they're not, even the films that are notoriously bad films
yeah.
are still better than that, because they're funny.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if we look at it, Codename KOZ, Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2, Saving Christmas. Oh, God, no. I mean, this is just... They don't look like real movies. Disaster Movie is the only one I've heard of so far.
Do we both disagree on a film?
Well, probably a superhero film in there somewhere. Yeah. But I don't think any of them are fantastic films. I think there's some good ones. Like, I enjoy Iron Man and Iron Man 3. Most of them are trousers. I enjoy them, but they are trousers. You won't see them, though, now, either, so that's hard to play. Is there a film that you love you think I'd hate? You don't like action films very much, either, no. though, do you? So, there's plenty. Have you seen like, The Raid or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think The Raid's good, because it's actually genuine action.
Right.
So, thanks a lot, but, I mean...
Stop trying to drive a wedge between us. Mike Day.
Here's an email. we've got quite a few emails now.
You can read this one.
Stuart Baxter, can you read it out like a Welsh bloke with a cold? I'll just do my Rod Gilbert impression. I come out in me whites. This is a little reference to some arseholes podcast. I wrote in before regarding people who look like other people in movies. In particular, Neil Tennant and Danny Houston in 30 Days of Night. It's been a while, but I subscribe every Friday. Anyway, I watched Catch Me Daddy the other night. A great movie, which I recommend. I'm not so sure if it is the man flu. Or how out of the blue the violence was. But it gave me nightmares for 2 nights. Have you watched it? What are your thoughts on British realist movies like Eden Lake, Kill List, Dead Man's Shoes, etc.? Have any films kept you awake? Can you read this out like a Welsh bloke with a cold? Keep up the good work. Stuart Baxter.
What was that film you mentioned that he said?
Catch Me Daddy.
I've never heard of it.
I've not even heard of it. I mean, that sounds like some awful Adam Sandler film, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Catch Me Daddy.
Catch Me Daddy. That's a terrible title for a film.
I think this title may have killed it. Let's have a look. Catch Me Daddy, 2014. Layla, a girl on the run from her family, is hiding out in West Yorkshire with her drifter boyfriend, Aaron, when her brother arrives in town with a gang of thugs in tow. I mean, that sounds a lot better than Catch Me Daddy. I've not seen it, but if you say it's very frightening, maybe worth a go. I've not seen Eden Lake. I don't want to. It's the one with Thomas Turgoose in a band of youths.
It's
sort of taunting a couple on a lake holiday, isn't it? It sounds terrifying.
It feels a bit like a rubbish version of one of the most... Wolf Creek, I think, is the most horrible, pointless, nasty film I've seen. Like that sort of porn, what's it called? The violent porn.
Torture porn, yeah.
Touching around the fringes of that, which I think there's something really sinister about that. Eli Roth, what's his name? He makes all the Hostel films.
Is that Eli Roth?
I don't know.
I've not seen any of the Hostel ones either.
I find him slightly disturbing.
I've watched all the Saw films because I find them actually quite camp and silly.
The Hostel one is quite good.
Right.
I started watching Hostel 2. And I found it. This is really. This has been quite weird and unpleasantly going. Some sort of sexual gratification with torture here. I'm not entirely comfortable with.
Dead Man's Shoes and Kill List.
Both
I think
brilliant.
Both brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Very different voices than the usual fare you get of American movies or Brits trying to emulate American movies to be accessible. They're totally their own thing.
Eden Lake is not the same class as those. It's a sort of quite two-dimensional story where you feel it's elements of, sort of Texas Chainsaw, but not as violent.
Yeah.
Because they haven't got the budget for it. And I didn't really ever feel that empathy with the girl. It's not the same league as Kill List, and even better, I think, Dead Man's Shoes. Paddy Considine again.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, we don't want to tell you anything about either film because their surprises are worth it. But if you've not seen either, Kill List, Ben Wheatley's film.
Shane Meadows is.
Dead Man's Shoes.
And Paddy Considine is spectacular.
Superb. Superb. And they are fairly violent, but well worth it. Daniel Ward nearly fainted in the cinema watching Kill List.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd because there's some graphic deaths of actors that I've met in real life.
Yeah. I did a parody musical version of Kill List for somebody. I wasn't available for the shoot, but it is my voice singing it. So if you look up Kill List the musical, there's me singing.
You've done versions of every single bloody film we're talking about today.
Yeah, have I? Beth have done as well. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Another letter.
Hello.
This is from Amy Byram. It's only a short one, so I'll quickly read this out, and then you can read another one about the same thing.
Okay.
Dear, please read like an angry man about to cry like a little girl. Well, I just use my own voice. Dear David Merrick and Buddy, I watched Dear Zachary Letter to a Son about his father. I cried a lot. Merrick mentioned in a previous podcast that he cries at movies. Did this documentary make him tear up? Yes, it
did. It
not as much as I actually at the very end.
Yeah,
I did, but not and at some points. Yeah, I'll always cry at some point.
Dear Zachary. A letter to a son about his father. We've mentioned in previous weeks. We said we'd talk about it because Marek saw it and was desperate to talk to me about it. I have now seen it. We've got another letter about it, in fact, as this film, people have been tracking it down. This one is an ex-Geordie who has lost his accent, now living in Turkey.
Just hear your voice.
But ex-Geordie, now living in Turkey. So it's just sort of gone a bit. What's a Turkish accent?
Just sort of your voice after you had a Geordie's had a kebab.
Geordie's had a kebab. Oh, good. Good day, Marek. That's gone Welsh. Geordie. Good day, Marek, David and Buddy, an unlikely guest. I've been an avid and long-time listener from day one of Film Fandango. Great recommendation from Dave Gorman and Danielle in the Absolute Radio days. I've always been keen to contribute to the podcast. They said I could never remember be asked to check whether the questions and topics that popped into my head had already been answered or discussed in previous podcasts, but I now feel it's time to make contact before it's too late. I was so happy to hear Marek bring up the masterpiece, which is Dear Zachary, in last week's podcast. I've gone Welsh again.
It wasn't me, it was an email from Tokyo
Sexwell. Yeah, that's true. In last week's podcast, it is an unmissable documentary that all Fandangoers should experience. That said, I urge you not to review it, like other jaw-dropping documentaries. Searching for Sugar Man, a prime example. This has to be experienced with no prior knowledge of the subject. Please just convey to listeners to stick with the film through its crazy fast-paced and jittering production to really reap the rewards. I have never seen a film that has broken me down so instantaneously and shown such an amount of perseverance of human character. Any more information about the film will detract from what is a one-off cinematic experience, not to be missed. On this topic, which other documentaries would you recommend but not want to review, apart from the aforementioned Searching for Sugar Man? Are there any more out there spring to mind? Keep up the cracking work. Oh, and try and squeeze in a Film Fandango live in either October or April, the 2 months of the year I'm in England. And keep watching the films. All the best, Tommy. So, don't worry, Tommy. We're not going to review it. We absolutely agree. We discussed it before we turned on the recording apparatus. This film is 100% better if you know nothing about it. All we can say is it's well worth you tracking down, and it is utterly free to watch on YouTube. Dear Zachary, spelt Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y.
I think we often talk about how documentaries struggle after that initial story.
Yes.
To find something that motivates them to continue, because you haven't got that story up used to.
Because life doesn't always give you an instant resolution, but so you have to stretch on and on. I don't want to say anything, but...
But
like,
this gives you, basically,
oh my God.
About four or five moments... if you put in a film, you would think you're really overstepping the boundaries of...
But it's true. Yeah. And I've never seen a story about this, in terms of what its final beats are, you know? Track it down, people. Email us, let us know what you think, you thought of it. You can reach us on dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. We may put the link up on Facebook. We're not very good at that. But you can do it yourselves, facebook.com/filmfandango. Or you can tweet us anything you want to talk about. If you've discovered any films that you would like to share with everybody, then tweet us @filmfandango. Or @MrDavidReed, or @MerrickLarwood.
And the other question was, what other films you recommend but not want to review?
Documentaries.
The Imposter. That is one you don't need to know anything about, but you must watch.
Yes. I mean, any that are Oscar nominated, you tend to know what they're about because they, you know, they get hyped, don't they? But we come... Marwyn Cole, I knew nothing about when we watched that, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't spoil it really, does it?
No, not really. Not really. But it does keep opening up and opening up, doesn't it, that one, where you don't know... that there's surprises to come after the initial setup.
Yeah.
Right, so there's a few films I wanted to discuss that I've seen, and... I don't really want to review, but I want to let people know they are out there. I've talked about one of them at least before.
Dirtbox Susan.
Dirtbox Susan. I never get bored of talking about. I mean, what a surprise ending. What a surprise. The dirtbox within her all along.
Oh, Susan.
The dirtbox is in you. No, there's a few films made by people we know that are now... We've now got so old that we know successful people. We're getting to that stage anyway. And there's a few films that have become available from people who have made movies, and it's such an impressive feat. One of them, the first one I wanted to talk about, and I believe I've talked about before, is Convenience. Now, this is a film which stars... Ray Panthaki, Adil Akhtar and Vicky McClure, and is a British independent movie. It's with a great setup. It's two guys who try to rob a petrol station, basically late night petrol station, and to get money from the safe, and the safe is on a time lock, but they've already beaten up and bound and gagged the owner, and so in order to get the money out they have to run the petrol station till 6 a.m. When the safe will open and they can get it out, and it's all the stuff that happens.
Good idea.
And it's a very funny film. Adil Akhtar, you may know from Four Lions, he plays the particularly stupid one.
He
could disguise himself by covering his beard with his hands. You know that.
He's in River
one?
At the moment as well.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He's brilliant. He is so funny. But I think he's fun. He's given more to do in this than in Four Lions. And Ray and Vicky are fantastic in it as well. And there's a lot of little cameos in it. Anthony Head is in it in a particularly dark role for him. Tom Bell and Tony Way play two posh people in it.
Tom Bell and Tony Way get everything.
Yeah, that's right, they do, yeah.
I meant to say it in a nice way.
Yeah. But Convenience is available in cinemas, but simultaneous release. You can get it on iTunes, or you can get it on Blinkbox, or any of these things. And I would say it's well worth a look. It's a really funny, fun film. Another one is which we've talked about before as well. In fact, I believe we had the writer star of it come in and talk about it. It's Super Bob.
Brett Goldstein came in to talk about it.
Brett Goldstein, friend of the show. Brett Goldstein, he came in. You've seen it before as well, haven't you?
I saw it. A very rare occasion I've been in the cinema where it's been completely packed at the London Comedy Festival, and there was it's quite a supportive crowd. And I watched it and I enjoyed it.
It's good. I saw it this morning. Catherine Tate's in it, and Nat Tenner, who I think is brilliant and should be in more things. She is the cleaner in it, and
it's quite a slow paced sort of film.
Yeah, it's gentle. It's probably paced at its budget. to be honest. You know, it's about a superhero, but it's more about, you know, people having a day off. Mm. but Nat Tenner is in Game of Thrones, amongst other things. She was also in a tiny role playing Tonks in the Harry Potter films, if you know who that is. But
and she is, as a young lady, the girl that Thingy fancies and about a boy in the school.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. She's grown up before our very eyes.
Yeah, she's grown up much. Yeah. Big go now, yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's now in cinemas and also available on iTunes and all of this stuff. You can track that down.
I enjoyed it. I thought it felt like it could have been a brilliant hour.
Okay.
Rather than a full feature film.
Maybe they needed a bit more cash to have a few more superhero-y money, yeah, bits. But no, it's thoroughly enjoyable.
Friend of the show, James Branch.
Yes.
Plays the policeman in it with a little cameo in it.
Does he?
Yeah.
It's also got Joe Wilkinson at the beginning.
All these people that none of you care about.
We know the movie stars. And then another film which I haven't seen but is on limited release at the moment and it's been getting rave reviews and all the trailers are out and it looks very exciting is the horror movie Nina Forever, which is made by the Blaine brothers, who I know. And the premise is brilliant. It's about a man who is quite literally haunted by the memory of his ex-girlfriend. So he's trying to... Who died in an accident, I believe. And he's trying to move on from that relationship, but whenever he has sex with his new girlfriend, his mutilated ex-girlfriend comes into the bed with them.
Oh, God.
And so it's a dark, dark horror. But I want to go see it. I haven't found the chance yet, but all of my friends who've seen it says it's excellent. So track that down as well, Nina Forever.
Cool. Well, that's about it, isn't it, for this week?
Yeah, I think so. That's enough. Next week, we'll be back for a Halloween special.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.